Well, now that I'm hungry already, let's get some food, shall we? And we get some soul food right now from God's Word. This morning, as you can tell by the songs that we've been singing, the themes, the imageries of water, river, obviously we're going to see baptisms performed this morning. It is a highlight of the Church of Christ. It's a big deal, friends. It's a huge, huge celebration and event in the life of the church. If you ask me, after Easter, which is the most important event in the Christian church, followed by Christmas, and after that, my vote is on baptisms, because Jesus says, who's alive, who rose from the dead, and when he encounters you, when he calls you, and you meet him for the first time, he transforms your lives in such a way that we call it a new birth, conversion, or being born again. And one outward sign of that is that we are baptized. Listen now. You are not being reborn or being converted or being transformed by the water. Water is just H2O. Okay? It has no power, but it stands for something else. It's like my wedding ring. Okay? Yes, I still have it. Yes. It's just a ring, but it symbolizes, it's a sign and a seal that I made vows. I gave my covenant to a woman and to her only. So water is only a sign that something took place in your life. Again, when Christ, who is risen, you meet him, you encounter him, when he calls your name and you are transformed, and one sign of that transformation, change, is that you are baptized. So that's what you're going to see. And this morning, I'm going to make my sermon really short. And you go, yeah! But you will get to hear stories, testimonies of Melissa, Jamie Lynn, Bernard, Henry, and their children. So you go, oh, so that's what happens when you meet Christ, who is risen from the dead. Oh, so if I met Jesus, there should be some change in my character, in my life. Oh, if Christ is alive and he is alive and he is changing me, then I should be different. I should look different, sound different, and people may notice the difference. So first testimony is from the Bible by the name by the name of Saul. He was at first someone who really hated Christians. He really despised the church, so much so that he went around rounding up these Christians and putting them in prison and killing them at the same time. So he really hated Christians. Now let's find out what happened to him once he meets Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9, we pick it up from verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. So he's going from Jerusalem to Damascus to round up these Christians and put them in prison, so that he may find any there who belong to the way. The way meaning the way of Jesus Christ. Whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. So picture this very zealous hater of Jesus Christ and his followers, all blinded, helpless, being led by other people into the city of Damascus. Now, for 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias," Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ telling Ananias the address of this place. Go to 2311 on 25th Street and look for the name, guy by the name of Saul. Okay? In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias responded, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Objection, Lord Jesus. You know who he is? He hates us. He's done much harm to your church, and he's come here to do more damage. Are you sure about this? But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. What happened to him? He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, hey, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Friends, right there. If Christ has risen, and that's what Easter Sunday is all about, and he is risen indeed, and if you encounter him in your life, then you will be transformed. God loves you just the way you are today, with acceptance and love, but he loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. When Christ comes into your heart, he changes you from the inside out. So that's what happened to Saul. Now you are going to hear the stories of Melissa, Jamie Lynn, Henry, and Bernard. And as they tell their stories to you, here's what I need you to do, okay? Does Christ change people today? Number two, if the changes took place in these individuals, then can Jesus change me also? And last question, are you, am I willing to meet this risen Christ through the scriptures, through the testimonies, and through everyday life? So I want to start with by inviting Melissa. Melissa, come up, please, up here. She will tell you her account as to what the risen Christ has done. It's an amazing, amazing account. And every word of it is true because we know Melissa. Melissa, come on up. Oh. All right. Okay. We are so, so excited to hear from you what God has been doing in your life.
Well, I'm not too familiar with talking in front of people, so bear with me. So before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I would profess that I loved the Lord, but the life I was living showed that my heart was far from the Lord. I put my trust, my time, and my life into worldly pleasures such as my money, my business, and materialism. The lifestyle I was living really showed what was truly in my heart, that God was not the first priority in my life. No matter how many temporary earthly pleasures I would accumulate, I was empty, incomplete, emotionally disturbed due to being spiritually blind. I did not know Christ as my Lord and Savior, so no matter where I looked, I had no peace or permanent wholeness. Metaphorically speaking, I was thirsty for something, but every day nothing could quench that thirst because I did not know Christ. Looking back now, I realize how many countless times the Lord was calling me home, but I ignored his calling and continued to walk further and further away from God. I thank the Lord that he loved me so much that even a sinner such as myself could not exhaust the patience of the Lord. God still came looking for me and wanted me to come home. Literally, on a daily basis, the name Jesus seemed to pop up all around me. I could not run from it or ignore it anymore. I was led to ask the one big question: who is the real Jesus? On a daily basis, I started to watch sermons on TV and read the Bible. All of a sudden, spending time with God didn't seem like a chore, but something I became dependent on and excited about. I started to feel my heart soften. I continuously craved to know more and more about the real Jesus Christ. For the first time in my life, I felt peace and a joy that could only be possible from knowing Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin and made me aware of the sin in my life. The Holy Spirit acted upon my heart, giving me the wisdom to understand that it is not foolish to give up what I could not keep to gain what I could not lose. I could not keep my earthly possessions, but through accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior, I could not lose the kingdom of heaven and everlasting life. One night I was sitting in my living room and finished watching a TV sermon. At the end of the sermon that night, I gave my life to Christ. I do not deserve nor have I earned the forgiveness of the Lord, but was given through the Lord's grace. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. With Christ residing in me, I started the greatest journey of my life. As my relationship with Jesus grew and my faith grew, my feelings towards others and how I now saw the purpose of my life had changed. I wanted to live for Jesus and walk with God. I had no one in my life with the same beliefs, and I did not know any Christians. I quickly felt like I was walking against the wind, while everyone around me was still traveling in the same direction. We are not meant to be alone. God knew what I needed and already put his divine plan into action. I had an appointment at my home with an insurance agent to purchase a life insurance plan. That insurance agent was Benny. By the time our meeting had ended, we were praying and Vanny invited me to come check out Mosaic House. That weekend, I came to Mosaic House and found a body of Christ to become a part of. And Jesus ensured I was not alone. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I proclaim Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I give my whole being to only him.
To be baptized because Jesus died for me and washed away all my sins. I know that Jesus is the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, who gave us life for us because God loves us so much. Being baptized means to wash away all the old bad things and be filled with all new good things because Jesus lives in me because Jesus loves me. Jesus forgives us for the things we should not do by Jesus dying on the cross for us. We can live forever in heaven with God. I want to live for Jesus by listening to my parents, telling other people about how awesome Jesus is, loving everyone and loving God with all my heart.
Jamie Lynn, that was so wonderful. Okay? We are going to celebrate in a couple of minutes. when you are baptized. It's a wonderful experience. As you said, it's coming up and out of the water into new life, in the new love of Jesus Christ. We have prepared a candle for you and a candle for your son, Sharon. We'll be baptizing her son as well. Now, so the candles on it, it says, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, Ephesians chapter 4. So here's what we are saying. In a moment, when we baptize Sharon, you will see the words of God's promise to you. But for now, I want to focus on celebrating your life. So here's what I'd like you to do, okay? This is Christ's candle. Take a match. You're going to light that up, and you are going to light your candle. It says, Jamie Lynn, as if your life is now kindled by the life of Christ. Go ahead. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Take that light. Light your candle, the one in the middle. Thank you so much. Thanks. We'll see you in a minute. Now, Henry, please come up. Henry and his family moved from China, came to Edmonton last year. He is here as a PhD student at the University of Alberta, and we are so, so excited that he is with us. Okay, so Dr. Henry Howe, here is a microphone, and tell us what God has been doing in your life.
I, Henry Ho, came from a place where atheism and Hellenism are pervasive and frequent. Though I did read a part of Holy Bible and heard something about Jesus Christ from my friends, I indeed knew little about him. Before one of my friends introduced me to Brian Evans, an emeritus professor of the UFA, I never heard anything about Edmonton. I'm the last Chinese person who he'd invited. Before passing away, I felt I heard God's call, so I came here to study at the UFA. When I came here in the 14th of last December, I was a stranger and have no friends here. I even didn't know how to take a bus and go shopping. I thank God that one day I googled churches in the Blue Queue area and found the Mosaic House Church. At first, I came here only because it's the nearest church to my apartment. When I came here for the first time with my wife and son, lots of people were polite and friendly to me. I felt I went back to my home, saw God and my siblings more and more. I believe it must be God, the Father, who wished me to come back because I've been lost so long. So now it has become a holy place where I communicate with God. I wish to come here every Sunday. I met lots of Christians here, Pastor Anne, Lawrence, Jack, Mark, Amy, Kim, Sean, Elaine, Pastor Junior, Pastor Victor, and so on, who have helped me so much in faith and our life. There were one person in particular, Pastor Anne, who invited me to attend the house church, picked me up again and again, answered my questions patiently, guided me to pray and get the first religious experience, and promoted me to make a decision to get baptized. It also helped that we were watching the IFA videos at our house church and had discussions about all the topics that helped me so much to understand Christianity, especially Jesus Christ. At the IFA retreat, I gave my life to Jesus. Before I met the discussion to get baptized, I thought for a long time and prayed day after day. I surely believe Jesus guided me all the way. Before coming back to God, I was sinful. I have been irritable, intolerant, impatient with people. Since praying and accepting Jesus as my Savior, I will gradually become more peaceful, patient, graceful, and can love anyone, forgive anything. If no Jesus, it will be unmanageable. God has said, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Now, I open the door and God is with me. Thank you, God, for giving me your grace. I will forever serve you from now on.
Changed lives, one after another. Bernard, please come up. Bernard's connection with Mosaic House Church is it's a long way around because Anais, our music director, Bernard is her voice coach. Okay? And now he's going to coach me. Don't worry, not for singing, but perhaps in terms of preaching and you using my voice. Now, however, I am so thrilled to introduce him to you because once again, you will hear what Christ is doing in his heart and in yours as well. So please, give God the glory.
Thanks, Pastor Victor. And about those voice lessons, I know that with Jesus, everything is possible. And yes, Anais was my student, so anything that you hear her do up here probably came from me. I'm Bernard, and I grew up in a Roman Catholic household. I was baptized as a baby and had my first reconciliation in elementary and went through my confirmation in junior high. I was enrolled in Catholic schools throughout my childhood school career, and although I grew up in that church, I was disconnected from the rituals I practiced and the relationship with Jesus and God. I prayed for things and blessings, but I don't think I ever felt I was ever really making a connection. I was filled with guilt as I knew I was a sinner, but rarely ever went to confession. And when I did go, I couldn't understand why I needed to tell my sins to the priest. I remember confessing my sins to the priest and him telling me that I was forgiven, and as penance, I should recite 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers. And at the end of the penance, I didn't feel any better because the question was, if Jesus died for my sins so that I could be saved, why does this sacrament exist? I know I believed in Jesus and in God, but Catholic Church didn't connect me with the Holy Spirit. I attended my first Alliance Church service when my cousin Mike converted and got his baptism. That was so many years ago, I can't even remember when that was. And I remember feeling like a fish out of water, coming from a Catholic church where all was subdued, the music was slow and somber, and going to a church where people were worshiping through song with their eyes closed and their hands up in the air. It was a far departure from what I knew. And I remember thinking, this feels like a cult. The people seemed nice enough, but I had the misfortune of meeting with some representatives of the church who I can only describe as judgmental Christians. I met so many of these judgmental Christians that I was turned off from organized religion as a whole for a long time. I would go to church and didn't associate with anyone. I grew closer to Jesus in thought and in prayer, having been freed from the ritual of Catholic Church, but I was still missing something. I didn't know it at the time, that I was so starved and lost that I made mistake after mistake. The past year has been particularly hard. I'm going through a messy separation and divorce. I've lost a lot of friends because of this. I've even had some family turn their backs on me. I felt alone and judged, and my girlfriend felt the brunt of this judgment and abandonment as she struggled with hurting her family and being labeled a home wrecker. I know that she isn't because I know that the home was wrecked long before she ever came along. We've been challenged like few ever have been. We felt that we've been written off by so many people in our lives. Abandoned by friends who swore that they would be there. We received an invitation from Ninoska to check out her church. This wasn't the first invitation that I've had from her, as I've known the family for years, having been Anais's vocal coach. I wasn't ready in the past, but at this point, I had nothing else to lose. At worst, I have At worst, I could have found that the church was full of more judgmental Christians, and I would go back to the idea that organized religion is bunk. I didn't belong anywhere and felt that I was undeserving of the forgiveness that Jesus gives. We came to Mosaic House and were surprised at how small the church was, but how open they were to accepting us. My spirit was moved when Pastor Victor's, during Pastor Victor's sermon, and I'll never forget the words that he said, that it's not about what you've done or what you do, it's what has been done for you. With the love and guidance that we've received from Banny, Ninoska, and Pastor Victor, I have grown in my understanding of Jesus and the church. I felt welcomed, and beyond that, Mosaic House is the first time that I felt safe to really sing in a church setting. I've always been a singer, but I've never been one to help with worship. I used to balk at worship songs and worship leaders because I never got the message in the songs. At Mosaic House, I felt the call to lend my God-given gifts to help in worship. I've even led on a few songs. This may not seem like a big deal to others, but this is not my usual behavior. I can't remember a time where I wanted to go to church on a Sunday morning, but here I am carting an entire clan of four kids and Sarah, and we're just, and we're here on a Sunday, 2 hours before the service even starts up to help and rehearse with the worship team. We end up staying for the fellowship and lunch that the table fellowship teams prepare for us because it's free food and I'm a fat guy. I know that there's been a change in me. It has even become apparent to my family. My own sister, who's here today, we couldn't make it to something that, that I think she had organized, and Sarah told her that I was leading worship on Sunday, and her reaction was, "Worship? My brother? He's going to church?" I haven't had the best relationship with my former pastors. Some didn't stir my spirit, and others left me with an overwhelming urge to punch them in the face. But here I am telling Pastor Victor my deepest shame and regrets, and wondering when the next time will be when we have him over for dinner. First dinner together was when he told me about baptism in preparation for my profession of faith, since I had already been baptized. The next time I saw him was the Sunday where he explained the parable of the prodigal son. We followed the service with my first class on baptism, and we talked about which of the brothers I identified more with. Without a doubt, I was the rebellious son. How could I not be? I can't imagine how much further I have strayed from God with two affairs under my belt. I was left with nothing here, and here I am returning to the Father. I pray often because I know I can't do this on my own. When I was left to make decisions on my own, I really stepped in it. Despite all my poor decisions, God takes my mistakes and turns them into something beautiful. Our daughter Aria was born almost 4 months ago. She's without a doubt a blessing and a wonderful reminder of God's love for me. She's getting baptized today too. Since the beginning of this journey, the parable of the prodigal son has become the most important Bible passage to me. It completely encapsulates my life till now. I've known the parable since I was a child, and it never made more sense to me than it does today. Sarah and I aren't out of the woods yet. We have to battle through our own issues and faith questions. I know that we are two imperfect people, sinners who struggle with sin on a daily basis. If we allow ourselves to give in to the guilt and shame and turn away from God's grace, we will be letting the enemy win. We will have listened to his lies and broken apart a union that God has a plan for. I now understand sin to be anything that hurts God and Jesus. Pastor Victor said in one of his sermons that the Bible can be summed up in two sentences: love God, love your neighbor. Therefore, anything that I do that hurts others, or even hurts myself, is a sin. My understanding of faith is a much deeper one than it was. Faith to me is leaving it to Jesus, trusting that the Father and Son will guide me to the right path. There will be times when I think that I know better, but it will be foolish of me to act on those thoughts, because each and every time that I have, I've sinned. Because of that sin, I've hurt myself and the ones I care about most. I'm sorry, I keep rambling. Pastor Victor gave me this assignment to write out my testimony, but he didn't give me, like, a limit. And as an overachieving Asian kid, I had to, like, try to get an A. So Mark 11:25 says that And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This passage is important to me because of the statement, if you hold anything against anyone, in my interpretation, this also means ourselves. Despite our sins, Jesus doesn't want us to feel shame and guilt. He wants us to remember that he died for our sins already. We don't need to stay shackled by sin, guilt, or shame. When we choose to do so, it prevents us from doing God's work. Guilt helps no one. It is completely selfish and indulgent. It does nothing to help us repair the damage done by our sins and is therefore sinful in itself. If we trust that Jesus has died for our sins and we give it all to him, sooner we will be healed and ready to help ourselves and help guide those who are lost. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is working in me. I once stood judging those Christians that judged others. Now I live my life to the best of my ability in Christ's teaching for myself and for my children. I hope that my testimony can be of help to someone in the future who may be on the same path that I was once on. I strive to be like Bani, Ninoska, and Pastor Victor, who opened their hearts and their church to a sinner like me. I do my best to teach Sarah and our kids about God's grace and how she too is deserving of it. She need only embrace and accept it to let her pain go. Beyond our indiscretions, I know that I am saved. The Holy Spirit works in me to make wiser choices to bring me closer to Jesus. Though I cannot change the past, I know that I can make the future better with the help of Jesus. I am grateful for the safety provided by Mosaic House Church and for the opportunity to really explore my faith and relationship with Jesus like I never have before. Thank you for your time.
I was true to my promise when I said you will hear stories of transformation. Here's what I heard. I'll start with me. We're messed up, but Jesus loves us, accepts us just the way we are today. And that's why I am being baptized. That's what I heard. Because I am being changed, though undeserving, I want this new life. I heard loud and clear, we're not being baptized because we got our stuff together. No, far from it, because we haven't. And that's why we come to Christ. Christ, I need this new birth. I want this new birth. Give it to me. I receive it. And as a sign of that, as a seal of that, outward evidence is baptism. I told you this is a huge deal for church. Josie, who is our champion for welcome and hospitality, everyone who's serving on Table of Fellowship team, okay, all your hospitality made a difference in their lives. They felt welcome because of what you did in terms of standing at the door, greeting. I want to say thank you so much for the sound, audio people. You do all your geeky stuff for this. Get it? Okay, this is the fruit. And all the Sunday school teachers, all the pastors, and all the house church lead mission. This is why we do what we do. To give God the glory, and to see people's lives transformed and changed. So this is our payday. This is my payday. This is your payday. Amen. We're going to start with the children. Here's why we baptize babies. Simple answer, Jesus tells us so. He says, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them from doing so, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Children. And in the book of Acts, when people became followers of Christ, then the whole household got baptized. Not just the adults, but the whole family got baptized. Now, here's a really important thing. With the adult baptisms, it's about your faith. You saying yes to Jesus, saying no to yourself. It's about your faith. With your children, they have no faith. With the infant baptism, the key word is covenant. Say it with me, covenant. Covenant. One more time, covenant. God is making a covenant, a promise to you, the family, and to the church community. saying, Sharon belongs with my people. Aria. Oh, you're winking at me. Aria belongs to my people. Okay? Not they are saved, but it's a promise from God to them, to the family. And second party, the parents, family, saying to Jesus Christ and to the church community, yes, we will raise them up in the way of Jesus. I heard that loud and clear. Okay? And who's the third? Third party. There's God making the covenant, the family making the covenant, and third is the church community. Because it takes a village to raise a child in the kingdom of God. So we are saying, making a covenant, promise to God and to the family, we're going to help you, Melissa. We're going to help you, Bernard and Sarah, and all the rest of you, raising your children as they follow Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? It's a different thing than the adult baptism or believer's baptism. Understood? Clear? Excellent. Excellent. So therefore, let's get the party started. Okay?